episode 5 of the Dining Room Table, and Sharpie is back in business. Match up from Sharp Property Buyers. Great to see you, mate. You've been on the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, thanks for meeting up again, obviously. And yeah, the Sunny Coast, one of the best places around. Doing a little bit of research up there in the property market and also enjoying the sunshine too.
Yeah, like Sharon and I, you've said that you and Jackie and the family, you could uproot and move to the Sunshine Coast in a heartbeat.
Easily. Just look, fantastic lifestyle up there. Love the fact that everyone's out and about exercising, grabbing early morning coffees. It's just such a great vibe up there.
Yeah. Do any kind of star spotting, or because there's some great athletes up there too. The Mercer family, they live in Noosa and are part of that famous surf club there.
Yeah, no, it didn't really. Most of my attention was focused towards my 2.5-year-old and 4-month-old chasing them around.
What were your observations of property up there? Because, man, you know, you'd need millions to get into the market, but there's a real mix because you go 10 or 15 minutes inland and you've got some gorgeous rural properties there as well.
Mm, yeah, look, there is quite a variety of properties up there and also at different price points as well. So the obvious is obviously Noosa. So if you're smack bang in the middle of Noosa, you know, your property could be worth tens of millions. But then you head 15 minutes out of town and you could be buying something quite modest in, you know, around the highest 700,000s, for example. And that could range anything from a freestanding home to a luxury home to an apartment, and the list goes on, like you said, and also acreages. So that's what's so beautiful about that area. You can be on an amazing acreage and only be 10 minutes from the water.
Yeah, did you duck out with Jackie to Yamundi and check out the markets or also the brewery?
Mate, we didn't actually. We drove past Yamundi markets on the Saturday when they were setting up to go down to the Australian Zoo. So we spent a day down at the Australian Zoo, which was fantastic. But Jackie and I did escape the kids for a lunch, which was fantastic. We went to Some Young Guys, which is a really popular restaurant there. I think you got to book around 8 to 10 weeks in advance. So luckily for us, we got in and had a really nice, beautiful lunch.
Yeah, how many hats?
What do you mean hats?
Yeah, I think it's how they rate a restaurant these days.
Oh, okay. I would say 5 out of 5. It was up there.
Five hats.
We might
need to phone a friend about this. Rod Amos, he'll know. Yeah, he'll know all about the hats.
He'll know.
So this is episode 5, and congratulations, mate, because you're finding an audience with this. So there's a demand for this type of information. You've actually given yourself a pretty poor mark out of 10 if you analyze your own performance, but I think you've done a superb job. And step through what we've covered so far and what we'll step through today.
Yeah, okay. So we started off with working through the mindset and whether or not you are fit and able to invest in a property. Then we sort of work through the dream team and who you need within, you know, on your side in order to be able to execute on some of these purchases.
Okay, elaborate on that for us. So who's the dream team?
All right, so the dream team is made up of a mortgage broker, critically, I suppose, a mortgage broker, a life partner, a buyer's agent or a property investment advisor, and then also potentially a conveyancer or a financial advisor as well. So yeah, there's probably like 4 or 5 there.
And we skimmed over mindset, but it's a great place to start, isn't it? Particularly now, like as the market is changing and how your mindset might change.
Mm, yeah, it's interesting that you mention it right now, especially on the back of some recent interest rate rises. But look, investing in property, it's not for everyone. But the most critical thing is you just need to keep a level head throughout some of these, I guess, uncertain times. But also bear in mind that it's absolutely a long-term investment. You know, like, is the property going to be worth more in the next 30 years? That's the question that you need to ask yourself if you are considering selling right now. And, if you have that long-term mindset, most often than not, it probably put your mind at ease and sort of relax you a little bit.
Sharpie, that sounds crazy. Will it be worth more in 30 years? You'd have to think it's going to at least quadruple.
Yeah. That's what history shows us, that it sort of doubles sort of every 10 to 15 years. So, look, I would expect that the property is absolutely going to be worth more than what it is today in 30 years.
What about episode 3 and 4?
Look, we started to talk about where does your deposit come from, and we spoke about is it cash or is it through an equity release? And what does that look like? So, and I guess today it's a good sort of segue into, you've obviously got your dream team in place, you've got the right mindset, you've got a deposit, and then what, right? And I think, as you mentioned, as we finished up, once you've got all those things in place, now what property are you buying? And I think that that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make. They they're all ready to go, and the first thing that comes to their mind is, okay, what property am I going to buy? Okay, and I think that's a major mistake, because you need to understand that obviously the heavy lifting's done in the location, so in terms of the property's value. So you need to really focus on location first and then work your way through that.
And let's not forget, you've spoken on this podcast, The Dining Room Table, about coming through the Margaret Lomas philosophy. So, you know, there's at least 20 steps that you're going to take before you decide to even look at a property. And it's all got to do with demographics of the location, what type of industries are there, but I'll get you to pick up the story.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we've narrowed that down or simplified it to four pillars, okay? And what we sort of call it is the four pillars of high-performance property. Now, that's made up of four basic things. Now, we have one, which is a strong economy. Now, off that strong economy, we're talking about jobs growth. Is there diversity? Is the economy growing? These types of things. We also have private and government spending. So where has the government targeted areas for expected growth? So that might be population growth, for example. And why is that important? That means that big corporations and also the government are prepared to put their own money into a certain location because they're expecting to grow and ultimately expecting to see a return on investment.
What are some of the areas that tick those boxes?
Off the top of my head, a very obvious and easy one would be parts of Brisbane with the Olympics, for example. So loads of infrastructure set to be built there for the Olympics, which is going to create jobs, which is going to create more people in the area, which is then going to create more interest, and then the list goes on. A smaller example would be, you know, in a regional town where there is a university upgrade or a hospital upgrade, for example.
Yeah, you've mentioned about Townsville on this show before, on The Dining Room Table. Does it tick the four pillars?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so Townsville, just an example, university up there is having a major upgrade, also some new hospitals also being built. So that's part of it.
Military?
And military.
Tourism?
Of course, and tourism. Yep. So military, obviously, that's government funding. So critical, which again is looking to expand, more people coming to the area, more attractions, et cetera. Like that.
Yeah. What about due diligence? So when Sharon and I, so we bought a couple of investment properties, we sold one, but we still have one in Pottsville in New South Wales. And you know, we bought a lot of reports, this is 20 years ago, but we wanted to be armed with as much information as we could, and we wanted to see what recent sales were, so we had some kind of idea, and we were much better with the second one. It's almost like a second child. With that one, I feel like we really nailed it in terms, that was in Ashtonfield in the Hunter Valley, and we saw a report that the top five postcodes in New South Wales would be from Newcastle to the Hunter Valley in that corridor, and so that's where we bought. And there was a lot of infrastructure going in, as we all know, and also new shopping centres, great schools, easy access to transport.
Yeah, it's interesting that you just mentioned you're looking at reports. I think that's also critical, because most people look for an investment property and the first thing they do is jump on realestate.com, okay? So that's probably like the last step that you should be doing. So you should be looking through some of these key factors that we're discussing now to find out what the long-term longevity is of that location.
Right? So you're saying we blew it?
No. I'm not saying you blew it. I'm saying you probably did the right thing. Whereas other people, like I said, first thing they'll do is jump on realestate.com and they have no idea around the background of that location and how it's going to perform and what government spending's happening there, what the economy's like there, whether there's population growth or not, obviously inventory levels as well.
Yeah, my dad told us, because he sold us the property and he knew the superhighway was going to open, so that made access from the Gold Coast down to Byron far more accessible. Mm. So he was armed with information, so we definitely tick that box. Margaret Lomas. So in her books, she would often say, and she was quite passionate about it, she'd say, don't go and buy a house down the road so you can go look at it. Mm. You know, that's the last thing you should be considering if you're looking for an investment. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I totally agree. So I think there's a couple of factors here at play. So the first thing is, if you already own a property in a certain location in one suburb, if you are restricting yourself to only buy an investment property in that suburb again, you are completely ignoring the rest of Australia. And there are other markets outside of your own that are doing very, very well. Even right now, as an example, you know, despite what the media says, there are locations in Australia where the market's incredibly hot and it's still going up really, really quickly. Okay, so if you're going to ignore the rest of the Australian market, you know, you're basically you're also putting your eggs in one basket as well in terms of having all of your money invested in a one suburb. So you're heavily reliant on whether or not that suburb's going to perform or not.
Yeah. Can you give us your, out of your investments, where do you feel like is performing the best at this current point? Now, you've spoken on the Our House podcast about suburbs just outside the Adelaide CBD. How are they performing? What about around the country? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think they're performing, or they are performing very well. I would say Toowoomba and the Onkaparinga area in South Australia are both performing very, very well right now. And I'm expecting them to do so for the next at least 12 months. But again, you know, planning to hold these properties for the next few decades. So if they go up in value over the next 12 months or so, that's great. But really, I just want to make sure that they're going to continue to increase over the long term.
And in terms of the four pillars, tell me more about why they tick the boxes.
Okay. So again, as I mentioned, they both have strong economies. They've got loads of money being spent and injected into that area. The other part is, you know, they have low, which we didn't get to this point. So the third pillar is a low supply and a high demand for the area. So why is that important? Because it's important because at the core of any investment market, it's supply and demand. So you really want to make sure that that supply level is quite low and the demand is always higher than the supply level. Now, what do I mean by that? I basically mean what level of listings are available at any one time. So are there lots of properties available for people to come and purchase? And then also, do people want to be there? So what's that supply look like? So for an example, I guess an extreme example would be a new housing estate where there's 1,000 new properties coming to the market. House and land package, you know, ultimately you need 1,000 buyers to go and buy those properties. Okay. Now, if we scale that back a little bit and you have, you know, let's say you have 5 properties available within a whole suburb, an established suburb, and then you have 1,000 people looking to buy in that suburb, what's going to happen? You're obviously going to have a higher demand because you have a low supply level, which hopefully means that there's going to be more competition to purchase, which means the highest bidder is essentially going to buy the property, which means it's going to have a direct impact on prices going up. So circling back to the locations that we analyze and that we buy for clients and that we buy for ourselves is we always want to make sure that that supply chain is really, really low.
So what is pillar number four?
All right. So pillar number four is a metric that's unmeasurable. Okay. So it's likable and livable. So what does that mean? It means why do people want to be in the area? Now, it can be as simple as I want to be there because that's where I grew up. It can be as simple as I've had to move there because of work. But it could also be something like Noosa that we spoke about before, where it's like, I'm going to live here because it's beautiful. I love the beach. I love the people. I love the cafes. Now, the livability and the likability for a suburb is critical because ultimately, most people buy property for an emotional reason. They're there because their family's there. They're there because they like the area. They're there because of jobs and whatnot. And then they pay for the property on the back of emotional decision, which then has a direct impact on the price going up because they're prepared to pay a premium and they're not thinking, obviously, you know, strategically when they're buying because it's not an investment. So livability and likability is critical. As you can see, most towns and established locations across Australia are close to the water. So, you know, following the water is an obvious one. Another obvious one is being close to a CBD because it has all the amenities that you need and also the big jobs as well. So they're just like two really, really basic examples.
When you said about mindset, I think my dad, he almost kind of hit us over the head with a sledgehammer saying, you're never going to live there. So get your head around that. So in terms of aesthetics and beauty and what the environment's like, he just kept saying, you're not going to live there, but someone is going to love it.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that you say that because what I like is totally, in terms of, you know, lifestyle, is totally different to you compared to, you know, the next person and the next person. So it's something that does come up a lot when we're working with people is, you know, we may suggest a certain location and they might say, oh, look, I've been there. I really didn't like it. But it's like, well, there's a whole bunch of people that absolutely love that area and they're prepared to pay a premium to be there.
Yeah. Last time we drove to Queensland, we went past, you know, just north of Coffs and you'd see a lot of housing development and some of it's around areas that I really love, like Woolgoolga. You wonder what the demand's like in areas like that. And yeah, we've seen something similar here just around the corner from us. I think they've released maybe 100 to 150 homes in Berkeley Vale, which is just a few minutes from where we are now. Now, what do you think the demand's like for that? You know, there's probably thousands of people that would love to live there because it ticks so many boxes. Mm. And that's that supply-demand that you're talking about.
The supply and demand, it's interesting because it moves and shifts so quickly. So that development in Berkeley Vale is a really good example. So I think that was released around 18 months ago in terms of when you could start to purchase the land. Now, look, in the last sort of 12 months, construction costs have gone up significantly. And now I'm starting to hear whispers that a lot of people are actually trying to pull out of the purchase there because the cost of the build has gone from, for example, $500,000 to $700,000 in the space of 12 months. So now there may be people that are not so keen to purchase that type of property because how expensive it's going to be. So you can nearly say the demand is dropping significantly there.
Yeah, we had a really good one with Ben Falconer from Smith & Sons Renovations and Extensions who came on the show last time. And he actually mentioned that delays in DAs is causing mayhem. Mm. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Kyle and Cara, so Kyle's been on our show before from The Block on Channel 9. And he bought that property. He bought a house and he's about to do a major development in a suburb that we love in Toowoon Bay. Now, it hasn't started. And I just wonder if there's delays with DAs, with our council. What are you hearing there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Look, I think the last I heard, there was somewhere around $1 billion worth of DAs sitting on council's desks right now waiting to be processed. So yeah, that's a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah. Hey, this is meant to be short, sharp and shiny. What else do you want to say on this episode?
Look, I think ultimately people get it wrong when they look at asset first. So when they look at the property first and not the location. The location holds 80% of the property's value. And the four pillars that you should be looking at if you want to see whether or not your property is going to be high performing or not: a strong economy for that location, private and government spending, low supply levels and high demand for the area. And the last one, livability and likability.
Yeah, love it. That is episode 5, wrapped up in a bow. Is that correct or is there anything else?
Nah, that's it, mate. Thank you.
What will we do on episode 6 of Dining Room Table?
Okay, so we've identified the location or locations that we're looking at. Now we want to zero in on what the demographic is and what types of property does that demographic want.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so we'll do that soon. Mate, do you want a glass of red wine with a sirloin steak?
Love to, mate.
Can you hear that on the barbie? Oh, smell that. How good is onion? Take care. We'll catch you soon with Matt Sharp from Sharp Property Buyers.